Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit suedistracteddriver.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Look at him right now.
This was the glory days, Andy. There's a national championship. I smell it. I'm sniffing it. It's coming.
And James Strebel.
Oh. It's going to be here sooner rather than later. Buckle up. Let's go. Let's freaking go.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Bellarmine at Clemson, 6:45 p.m. pregame, 7 p.m. tip-off here on ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville app. And then after that, tonight, IU basketball postgame show, 8 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville, and the ESPN Louisville app as well. Jack is manning that ship as the Hoosiers take on the Musketeers. And let's, again, not waste our guys' time. We've got Rob McLam here. He's on NC State's Fan Nation site for Sports Illustrated. Rob, man, appreciate the late notice. You joining us today. It's a big game for the Cards, a big game for the Wolfpack. How you doing, my man?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well here. It's cold, but at least the sun's out in Louisville today. So let's not waste any time, man. Let's get right into it. The Wolfpack, they lost Devin Leary earlier in the season. That was their guy looking for a special year, contending for an ACC championship. He goes down. You lose to Clemson, but you win against Florida State, lose to Syracuse, and you win some big games, right? You beat Virginia Tech. You beat a ranked Wake Forest team by 9, and then you throw up a clunker against Boston College. What's going on with this team? Can you figure them out? And what does this team do well offensively right now?
Well, offensively, they do well as dink and dunk. They're a short passing team. They have a struggle without Leary and without team speed out wide of throwing the long ball. They were able to get some long balls passes against Virginia Tech, and that was how they rallied to win that game. If you recall, they were losing that game 21-3 to right. An inferior Tech team. It was like a precursor to the Boston College game almost. But you know that's what they struggle with. So they have guys like Thayer Thomas. They have a decent running game. They can move the ball in short chunks. They just don't really have that explosive play threat that's consistent that you can kind of bank on.
Yeah, I'm with you on that for sure. I think they have shown the ability to attack downfield and to do those things. MJ Morris, the backup quarterback, you know, comes in after Leary goes down. What's his status? There were some rumors that NC State might be down to their third string quarterback in this game on Saturday. Any update on Morris or in the quarterback situation at NC State?
Well, there's no update. Dave Dorn was asked on Thursday, and he just flatly said, I'm not talking about injuries. I'm not talking about it. The depth chart is out there. You see it. My hunch is that he's probably not going to play, and he's probably going to be shut down for the year. That, again, that's a hunch. I could be wrong, but I think you've seen the last of Morris. You know, in theory, he probably could play a bowl game, but, you know, what value do you gain in that? I'm not. You know, there you have these days. You have guys sitting out bowl games when they're worried about the NFL. So
right.
I don't know if he would play a freshman quarterback in a bowl game and run the risk of him getting hurt again, especially with no title on the line. So I think my hunch is you'll probably see Jack Chambers, and then the other backup would be one who's played a couple years ago would be Ben Finley. So those are probably what you'll get, and I would suspect Chambers would be the starter again. No word officially from NC State that. that Morris is out, but I don't see him playing on Saturday.
So if Morris doesn't play, which quarterback do you think gives NC State the best chance to win this game on the road? Because they still are ranked 24th in the country. Only three losses. I know that BC loss is a bad loss, but Louisville also lost to that team on the road as well. So what do you think, which quarterback gives NC State the best chance to get a big win and keep them in that top 25?
Well, Chambers has played this year. He's played more recently at Charleston Southern. Finley, it's been a couple of years. Anybody, if you can get the ball down the field, if you can get behind the defense, whatever quarterback that can do that gives you the best chance to win. And we haven't really, again, Finley hasn't played in so long, and Chambers did not do it. He did a little bit. He did well at the end of the Florida State game. He came in relief and helped NC State win that game, but then he struggled up at Syracuse. I think, to be fair to Chambers, a lot of guys would struggle against Syracuse. Syracuse has a really good football team.
They do.
Going up there, and they're playing in the dome. So maybe that experience will help him on Saturday. I suspect you'll have a good crowd in Louisville, and he'll have to deal with that. But he's dealt with it already now. So you're going to get Chambers, but again, it boils down to, can you get behind the defense? And that's the biggest problem NC State's had offensively this year. They don't create enough explosion plays, particularly in the passing game. They need to, at least, in my opinion, throw a little more fade routes. They did throw some fade routes against Boston College, but Morris, being a freshman, he underthrew them. He threw in the double coverage. He did what freshman quarterbacks do. He made bad decisions at some points. And so that's kind of where NC State's at. They don't have, experience in the way of Finley or Morris. They have some experience in regards to Chambers. That's probably what you're going to get, and that's probably NC State's best chance.
How worried are you about the Louisville defense? This is a defense that really came on strong after the Virginia game. Louisville looked dead in the water. I mean, you probably know that, Rob. They have a very similar record to NC State. They also lost to Boston College. They also lost to Clemson. They also lost to Syracuse. But you're throwing that extra loss against Florida State. Other than that, very similar teams. Yeah. What that Louisville defense, they really get after the quarterback. They create turnovers. They score off those turnovers. How worried are you about what Louisville's defense can do to NC State's offense?
Well, they can cause problems, especially if they stop the run. If they stop the run and NC State is chasing points, we've seen this year only once where they really chased points and were able to succeed, and that was against Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is not Louisville.
So, right.
So there is that. But NC State needs to, just stay in the ball game. Stay, don't get flustered. There's going to be moments where they have issues, where Louisville's going to create problems. Same thing next week when they play North Carolina. You're going to have that, but you just have to really, it's a matter of staying calm, staying in the moment, just winning each play, breaking it down to its simplest form, win the play, and then move on to the next play. And if you don't win the play, shake it off and try to win the next one. But the Cardinals and State are a similar team, and so this is really a big game in that regard, because you're jockeying for bowl position, and basically this is a separator. It's like a tiebreaker. This could be
absolutely
the difference between going to Orlando, and I'm hypothetical, I have no idea, but this could be the difference between going to Orlando or going to Fenway Park or going to Jacksonville or going to the Bronx. You're jockeying for that top-tier, best type of bowl game that you can get, and this is a game that can create that separation. Louisville has a fan base that will follow their team. That matters. So NC State, if you're looking at it from that point of view, they really need to go up there and get that leverage if they can, if they want to have a chance to go to a good bowl game and want to have a chance to have a double-digit win season. If they win out, they can still do that.
Rob McLamb joining us here at Rob McLamb on Twitter, NC State's Fan Nation writer. A couple more for you, Rob, and we'll get you out of here. Louisville's offense is in a kind of a similar position as NC State. It looks like they're going to be playing a backup quarterback as well. Malik Cunningham dealing with a broken left hand, his non-throwing hand. Also went out against Clemson, didn't play in the second half due to a shoulder issue. He's banged up. So Brock Doman looks like he'll be the one getting the start for the Cards on offense. What does NC State's defense look like? What do they like to do? And how do you see them matching up with a backup quarterback? Now, Doman's a little different from Cunningham. Doman's not going to give you the same mobility that Malik Cunningham can give you, but he does have a decent arm and can really expose that long ball better than I think Malik Cunningham can.
So what it boils down to is this, the front of the offense, the offensive front for Louisville, NC State will run an odd front. They'll be a 3-3-5. So what that does is it gives the linebackers and it gives the overhang safety, gives those guys leverage to attack from different gaps and different schemes. And if Louisville's line can pick that up, then they're going to have some one-on-one with the secondary. Now, NC State's got a good secondary, but one-on-one, eventually, you're going to win. You're going to get some wins there, especially if the quarterback can sling it and he can put the ball in on a dime and get it to his guy. That's what happened last week. NC State defense probably this week is not going to be much different than what it was against Boston College. And defensively, NC State played a winning ball game. It was the offense that let them down. It was the offense not, you know, getting points in the red zone. It was coming up short, only having 6 points over the last 3.5 quarters of the game. That was the problem the Wolfpack had. Defensively, they did really well. But you're going to give up. You run a slant. And you hit that guy on a slant, it's a one-on-one. If that guy misses the tackle, then your guy with the ball is going to run for a long ways because NC State doesn't have that backup. They don't have that zone coverage. They don't have that personnel in the backfield or defensive backfield to allocate for that. So if you get beat, you get beat. And that's where if Louisville can maintain, if they can identify what gaps the linebackers and the overhang safety and the other safety are coming from when they blitz, and NC State will blitz, they're going to have a day where they'll get about 300 yards passing. And if they can limit the NC State offense, that'll be their ticket to win the game.
All right, Rob McLam, let's do it. Let's pick a winner here. Who do you got on Saturday? And are you making the trip here? You watch it from the comfort of your own home?
Man, I always enjoy my trips to the Commonwealth, brother. I can't, you know, I always love going up there. It's been a great ride.
Nice.
It is. I love it. I love Louisville. I'm so happy. And it's been a while now, about 10 years, but I'm so happy they're in the ACC. I'm going to pick the Cardinals to win 28-24. I'm going to pick them to win a close game. I don't think it's going to get into the 30s. I don't know that NC State has the power, the offensive power to do that. And I don't know if maybe Louisville doesn't either. But I think look for – you know, you worry about special teams. If one team can do something on special teams, kickoff returns, punt return, that might be what separates it. But I'm going to pick the Cardinals to win a close one because it's a home game for them.
All right, Rob. Hey, man, thanks for joining us. And again, a little late notice, but appreciate you carving out some time and talking a little NC State Wolfpack football. Enjoy the games this weekend and have a happy Thanksgiving, man.
My pleasure, brother. Anytime. Thank you for your time.
All right. Absolutely. Rob McLam there. That's a good interview, man. That guy likes to talk some football, Jack.
Oh, yeah. He's talking football.
He's talking football, Jack. How about that on a little football
Friday?
You're reading my mind. That's interesting. I think these teams
are similar.
They're very similar. I was looking at the record, and as I was speaking with him, I mean, outside of Florida State, they've lost to the exact same teams.
Yep.
The exact same teams. In the Florida State
Even
game.
Boston College.
Yeah, I mean, Boston College, Clemson, Syracuse. And the Florida State game was just a 2-point win for NC State, and that was at home. So, this is a close game for U of L. That was a close game for NC State as well. And they're both playing with not their starting quarterback. Sounds like they have pretty good defenses. And I just think I'm just leaning towards Louisville being better offensively in this game than NC State. And, you know, we'll make our picks later in the show, but that's kind of what he was saying is kind of what I'm leaning on, you know, leaning towards as well.
I'm with you because you trust Brock Doman.
Right.
And you don't trust NC State quarterbacks that aren't Devin Leary.
Right. No, I think Louisville's are just downright confident about this game, and I don't blame them. I would be, too, if I was a Louisville fan and I'm looking at the recent success of this team. You know, and the Clemson game was the Clemson game. I think the defense gave them every chance to make that a game and stay in the game. I don't think they really had a chance to win the game in the second half, but they gave them the ability and opportunity to be within striking distance of Clemson. But I feel like they're better than NC State. I feel like they have better weapons with Brock Doman at quarterback than NC State does with their second their third or even fourth string quarterback at this point. I think it does bode well for the Cards. And I'm curious to see, Jack, like, what that stadium looks like on Saturday. It's going to be cold. I was talking to our guy, Biscuit.
Biscuit's going.
During the break. Oh, yeah, you know he's going. He's a husky man, so he doesn't mind the cold. He's got enough padding, as I do, to withstand that cold. So it should be a good crowd. You know, you get a seventh win. and looking at possibly an eighth win heading to Kroger Field. As much as I hate to say that, you know, we'll see what Kentucky does. We'll talk about Kentucky, Georgia later. I don't know why. I don't really want to talk about it because I know what I think it's going to be. Basketball. Well, we got to talk a little football, Jack. I mean, let's do it right now. Did you see
Football Friday?
Yeah. Did you see who Kentucky had speak to them today?
No, I did not.
Do you know who Buster Douglas is?
The guy that beat Mike Tyson.
Yes. So I saw the tweet.
So Soups wants his program to be a one-hit wonder.
Well, I think the idea behind it was, you know, Buster Douglas was one of the biggest underdogs in sports betting history.
Right. Like 38-1.
Yeah, exactly. Boom, there you go. You know. So Vince Merrill obviously tweeted that out as Buster Douglas with Will Levis, and Buster Douglas didn't do a damn thing after he beat Mike Tyson.
Yeah, one-hit wonder.
Yeah, he was a one-hit
quite
wonder.
Quite literally a one-hit wonder.
He was a one-hit wonder. And at that time, Mike Tyson's personal life was
terrible.
In a tailspin. I mean, he had some allegations that were coming up against him. He had, you know, just the living the life of excess is what Mike Tyson was doing. So, you know, obviously Buster Douglas took advantage of it, but I guess
the equivalent for Georgia in the excess? Too much NIL money?
I get, man, that's the thing is, like, I don't.
Strippers and hookers in the dorm.
Yeah, strippers, hookers in the dorm. Yeah. Kirby Smart getting in trouble for something off the field. I don't know. But, I mean, Georgia's such a well-oiled machine, and they do such a good job of not getting into nonsense. I mean, you never really hear that much nonsense coming out of Georgia. So something miraculous would need to happen for Georgia to be off kilter.
And I'll say this. They were already at breakfast this morning in Lexington. They're already invading, like, Afghanistan.
Are they really?
It's under siege.
Oh, yep. It's under siege. Dude, there's going to be so much red.
We were at a breakfast spot.
And where were you? Wild Eggs?
No.
With Tom Leach?
I don't remember what the name was. But I had a really good omelet, though.
Oh, good. Yeah, I love omelets. I love a good omelet.
Yeah, but it was pretty full, and it was maybe 70% Georgia fans.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, they're... I almost want to cry. It's going to be like majority Georgia fans. Oh, my God. I got to do that post-game show tomorrow, Jack. Yep. I got to watch that game from 3:30 to 6:30 and then talk about it for an hour.
It'll be a really quick game because Stoops will just run the ball.
I hope it's a fast game. I hope they just run the ball and Kirby Smart's nice and just runs the ball. I mean, I'm going out with buddies after that game, Jack, after the post-game show. And, I mean, I scheduled that because we haven't seen the buddies after the high school friends. We haven't seen each other in a long time. And I was like, look, man, I'm going to be in Louisville Saturday night. Let's go out then. I'm going to be in a bad mood because of what's going to happen. Because the cats are going to stink against the dogs. And it's just, it's going to be bad, Jack. And there's no analysis of this game other than don't die. That's the analysis.
Quite literally.
Don't die. That's what it is, man. Usually, and this is what's confusing to me. They normally play like a buffer game between SEC play and the Louisville. Yeah, yeah, usually there's a buffer game in Austin Peay a few years ago.
Let's go Peay!
Let's go Peay! I mean, you have usually a game. New Mexico State, they played them in between. I don't know how the schedule worked out this way. I don't know if Mark Stoops was like, you know, we'll get our bum games early, get our team.
No, that's not a Stoops thing. That's an SEC thing.
All right, SEC thing or whatever it is. It's like usually we get a buffer game, and the fact that we have no buffer game and that it's Georgia. Now, we've had games in the past where it's been Vanderbilt or some team like that. I wouldn't mind if it was Vanderbilt, but Jack, we lost to effing Vanderbilt last week, so I can't even say that.
Man. 51 clips from the post-game show.
Oh, I'm sure you do. Yep. Jack alerted me via text today that he has a loaded mixtape
I can't decide which mixtape is better, this one or the one from after the Governor's Cup last year.
Really?
It's...
Wow.
It's that level.
I mean, the Vanderbilt game was bad, like, man. And then we've had Louisville basketball losing. We had Kentucky basketball losing. Well, I'm sure.
DJ Wagner.
Oh, yeah, DJ
Wagner.
There's
stuff that I didn't put in it that could be sound of the week other weeks.
Other weeks.
Like, because I have it on the sound sheet.
Right. Oh, I've got
Issel.
Can you
did the thing
before we go to break here in a little bit and do some text? I mean, I don't know when we're going to fit this sound in. I don't know how much time we're going to have left after Lee Sterling, because I do want to talk about this Will Levis article here in a minute. But which one do you want to play?
So first we got to play, because I got to lay this out for you how I heard this.
Okay,
because we know from 10 to noon we have our guys at Issel and Louie and our guys maybe in Rummage.
Right, exactly. Yeah, dueling shows.
Which makes
yes.
10 to noon. Well, that's also when I'm trying to cut promos and load spots and do other stuff. But
you're busy.
10 to noon is ridiculous for your boy.
Yeah, it's crazy time for Jack. Yes. Especially after you had the shots that you had last night and the drinks that you had.
So
you're probably
So I was driving back a little bit later today. So usually I get in, just no one cares about my day, but I usually get in between 9:30 and 10.
Okay.
I got in probably around like 12:15-ish today.
Okay.
And so I'm driving back from Lexington at like 11:15. I'm near Frankfurt, and I'm listening to Issel and Louie, because you can't physically listen to both shows at the same
time.
Right. Impossible.
It's impossible. You can't pay attention.
And Issel gives this take, and he just ethers Mabin and Rummage and Cindy Curry. And I almost drive off the highway.
It says right here, Jack, Issel crushes Mabin, Rummage, and Sid Curry. But then, there's two clips. Oh, my God.
But then I go back because I was like, I have to listen. Because what sparked it was that someone texted in to Issel and Louie, meaning to text it in the 93.9.
Oh, that Issel was crushing them?
No. Someone texted into 680.
Oh, gotcha. This is what prompted Dan Issel. Okay, yes, gotcha. All right.
So at that point, I have to go back and say, okay, I have to hear what they were talking about.
All right.
So Issel crushes Mabin and Rummage, but it wasn't Mabin and Rummage that gave the take that got him mad.
Okay, well, let's go.
Who's getting drafted?
Well, we talked about Brandon. I mean, maybe Sid.
What? You think Sid's getting drafted?
I mean, if we saw the Sid that we saw the last couple games last year.
No, I know.
I mean, his ceiling, I mean, you could see him maybe getting a shot two-way or something like that.
Right.
I don't think, like, that's ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh. Nick, I love you, buddy, but Nick. Sidney Curry ain't getting drafted. All right, let's hear it. Let's do it. Do it. Issel, do it.
So my heart sank when I realized that it was my guy, Nick.
It was Nick that gave the take that set Issel off. And I can't stop Issel. We can't stop him.
He's inevitable.
Let's go.
By the way, I know we're doing good radio because someone just texted and it was intended for 93.9, and apparently they're debating Sidney Curry right now. And I can't think of anything I want to talk about less than Sidney Curry. Like that's the bottom of
sports. What's the debate?
You just debated Sid.
If he's going to enter a pie eating contest,
if he's going to get drafted. Oh no. Oh no, Marcus. Oh, we're trying to have a civilization here.
Oh my God. Oh no.
Oh my goodness.
It's a pie eating contest.
The only way he would get drafted is if the Army still had the
draft. I was wondering if you were going to go to war.
That's pitiful. Oscar Tshiebwe is a second round draft pick, and they think Sidney Curry's going to get drafted? Oh, stop it. Stop it.
That's great, man. You're right. He killed him. He absolutely killed him. You can't say anything to him. There's nothing you can say. Oh, my gosh, Dan Issel. Don't do that to him, big guy. Oh, texter, not listening to this big-bellied blue bum today. Well, apparently you are, and you're texting me too. Texter, we've had tough games before the UK game. While UK always had bums, stop whining. I'm not whining. I'm just saying that's usually what happens. Texter, if I beat Mike Tyson, I wouldn't do a damn thing after that either. Good point. The last time UK lost to UofL, they played Georgia the week before. Good text there. That's what I'm worried about. Text where this guy used the line and spread as his prediction. Who cares? He's fine. He picked what he wanted to pick. Texter, AJ Johnson is a raw talent. He could prefer a veteran transfer guard instead. That's
got to be 939 though.
It has to be because, Kenny wants a 5-star guard. Just the backflips we're doing now on Kenny Payne's recruiting, where we started with it and where we are now. He prefer a transfer guard than a five-star. That's I'm not doing that show. We've talked about it enough. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Texter, I think the fan base is nervous because what they're saying is lack of effort and the concern that he's not able to motivate kids to play hard. I think that has to be for 93.92. It's hilarious. Texter Issel with the full ether. Yes. Texter, Sydney needs the Barkley program. Auburn used to have a staffer follow him around to make sure he didn't sneak off and eat two extra large pizzas.
Did you hear the Mark Lieberman story about Gorgie Jang today?
No.
He said that Gorgie wants to get out of running. He said he didn't feel good. He went to the back and he had one of the managers get him Taco Bell.
He ate Taco Bell. There you go, Gorgie.
So I went up during the break. I went, yo, coach, what Rick Pitino do when he found out? He goes, oh, he never found out about that.
That's something. If Rick Pitino found out, like, he might bench you for the rest of the season.
Missing conditioning. It doesn't matter. Taco Bell.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how good you are. Like, you're done. Like, you're done. All right, Jack, what do you say we take a break? We have Lee Sterling coming here at about 4:35. Again, you know, mixtape 5:30. Thanks for sticking with us. It's a take here on ESPN 680-1057.
Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Jack, I have $100.
All right.
If you ask Cal something.
Come on, Jack.
Just if I ask him a question?
No. A specific question. Not a question. I'm not going to have you ask about ball rotation
or
at the 419 mark of the second half.
What do you think about Sheboy's 15th rebound?
I don't care about any of that. Here's what it is. You ask him if he's talked to Mike Woodson about renewing the UK-IU rivalry.
Oh, Jack.
Jack, you'll be the hero. Jack, do you understand?
I'll throw in 50.
$150.
I've got your Venmo, Jack.
$150.
I don't know if I have the stones to do that.
And James Strebel.
Coach, I don't know if you were aware that the Kentucky women's team played Indiana on Sunday with first-year head coach Mike Woodson. Has there been any discussion?
Say what?
Has there been any discussion with Mike Woodson, the new head coach up there, about trying to bring that series back in some way, shape, or form in the future?
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Crane wins. He wins. He wins. He did it. Jack Grossman freaking did it. Louisville football is looking to bounce back on Saturday when the Cards host NC State. 12 p.m. Miller Lite pregame show with Mark Blankenbaker and Taylor Lynch. 2 p.m. network pregame show with Paul Rogers and Jody Dibbling and Drew Diener. 3:30 p.m. network play-by-play of the Cards and Wolfpack. Directly following the game, it's the network postgame show with Paul Rogers, Jody Dibbling, and Mark Ennis. Here first from Scott Satterfield, followed by the Miller Lite postgame show on 93.9 and the ESPN Louisville app. So there you go. Also, Saturday, we have Michigan versus Illinois, 11:30 a.m. on ESPN 680-1057. Also here on the station, UCLA versus USC, that's 7:30 p.m. Oregon and Utah, that's 10 p.m. over on 93.9 The Ville. Then Sunday, Colts versus Eagles, that's noon on ESPN 680-1057. Then Vikings, Cowboys, 4:25 on ESPN 680-1057. And don't forget the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife UK postgame show on Saturday after UK Georgia. Me and Ince will have
more
you there.
Sunday. Yeah. Gonzaga.
Way more exciting, Jack. All right. A couple texts here before we get Lee Sterling to talk about Paramount Sports. Texter, Matt Cross, balling for UMass. And Frank Martin, yeah, we saw him on TV yesterday, Jack. I was a little surprised. Like, oh, man, there's Matt Cross. So apparently he's playing well in UMass as the Davis brothers are playing well for Seton Hall.
Davis brothers are the ones where I'm like, they could
use one and or both of them. Absolutely.
Yeah. And because, like, Noah Locke, it's like he wasn't good, but he wasn't, like, a bad guy, it seemed like.
Right.
To where maybe that would have been okay to have around, even though he would have been the exact same problem he had last year.
He wasn't like a team killer the way like Matt Cross was. Yeah.
Like Matt Cross, like.
He needed to be gone. And some of these other guys may need to be gone too. Texter, Melvin Turpin had Burger King secretly delivered to his dorm room through the window as we talk about Gorgie Jang getting Taco Bell. Dexter, rumor is that Curry has a few NIL food-related things and he's been eating all kinds of food around the city. Texter, Issel uses ether. I'm not reading that about Ince. Texter, Big Red, did KP win those games? No, he didn't win any games this season either. And last one here before at least Sterling on. Texter, anyone who calls and preaches patience should have to qualify if they pad for season tickets like many of us have done so. Before we get Lee starting in here, I saw an article today about Will Levis, and obviously for Will Levis at this point in the season, it's all about his draft stock next season and where he's going to go first round. If he does go in the first round, where in his first round, is there a chance that he plummets into the second round? And I found this article today on 33rd Team and the33rdteam.com. Why Kentucky's Will Levis could be first QB taken in 2023 NFL draft. And basically the premise of this article is that if Will Levis is taken first or, you know, somewhere close to the first quarterback taken, that chances are he's going to be drafted onto a crappy team. And what this writer is saying, and I don't know if he's getting this from Will Levis' agent, if they're prepping for post-Kentucky draft analysis, post-Kentucky draft interviews, post-Kentucky draft narratives, whatever you want to call it. But the premise is that Will Levis has proven that he can be on a crappy team, take a beating, and continue to play. So that right now is the sell job for Will Levis. And we kind of thought, you know, if this season was going to be a bust, and Andy Sweeney's talked about this before, if this season was going to be a bust for Kentucky and the Kentucky offense, what the sell job or what the narrative would be for Will Levis. And the one thing that we settled on, mostly Andy settled on, was that they were going to throw Kentucky's offense under the bus. And rightfully so. Throw Rich Scangarello under the bus. This is not something that I saw coming. This is a new take. This is a different spin on it. Still a creative spin, if that's what it is, for Will Levis. And trying to convince people that he still is worthy of a first-round draft pick. And you know, this is arguing, again, first quarterback taken overall. I haven't seen that from Will Levis. I get the toughness. I get the competitiveness that he's shown at Kentucky. And as bad as the offense has been, he did get C-Rod back. He does have wide receivers that are a step up from, you know, what he's had or what Kentucky's had outside of Wandale Robinson. You know, he had Wandale Robinson last season. He was an alien. He was really good. He erased some mistakes, and he won the game in that bowl game against Iowa. I mean, he was a complete warrior. Now, Will Levis did have to throw him the ball, and he did get him the ball, but Wandale just drove it down their throats. But this season, outside of, I understand the excuse of the offensive line. It's terrible. And Will Levis has been sacked than probably any more quarterback in the SEC. I'd be willing to bet that. I don't know who else would be a candidate for that, but I'd be willing to bet that if Will Levis isn't the most sacked quarterback in the SEC, he's in the top two or three. His decision-making has not been good either. He's not been accurate. He's not shown the growth of a passer that can use check downs in an effective way. So while I get this argument that Will Levis is tough and he'll you know, if he's drafted to a bad NFL team, that he can take the beating and he can still keep on ticking, as the old watch commercial used to go, takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Jack, you ever remember that? So, you know, I don't know. We'll talk about that more. Right now, let's welcome Lee Sterling from ParamountSports.com in with us today. Lee, how's it going, my man?
I'm good. I was proactive. I don't know if I'm usually not this way, but I decided to get ahead of it. Usually the wife is nagging me or asking me, should I say, about hanging up the lights. So I went to her two nights ago and said, let's hang up the lights. Did it in two nights and get a text about a half hour ago. And she said that she had made my favorite dinner, turkey spaghetti. So.
Oh, wow. There you go. A little turkey spaghetti, a little Christmas lights for Lee. Now, Lee, before we get to these games, now, don't your daughters have a pie baking competition every Thanksgiving?
They do.
Who's favorite in the clubhouse this year, Lee?
So the line just came out. My oldest daughter, Sydney, is going to be the 145 favorite. She makes the banana cream pie. And it's tough to beat a banana cream pie unless it's soupy. A couple years ago, it was a little soupy and just didn't cut the mustard, and the blueberry pie was able to pull the upset. So banana cream pie got the title back and won it last year. I've actually had a couple people ask me, why not key lime pie? So, you know, who knows? You know, maybe
a little peanut butter pie, Lee?
I guess. I mean, there's so many pies you can have. I mean,
right.
We only have five. Now, we have a pecan pie. We have a apple pie, and we have pumpkin pie, and then we have the staples for me, the banana cream pie and the blueberry pie. But, yeah, I mean, there's others that you can throw in there, I guess, that, you know, fit the bill. Never enough pies for Thanksgiving. Right?
No, you're absolutely right, Lee. You eat that turkey, that dressing, everything else, you gotta cap it off with a nice piece of pie. So let's go ahead and get into it. Lee, how'd you guys do last week with ParamountSports.com, and then we'll start previewing some games.
Actually, we lost on the show. We went 1-3-1 and had my first losing Sunday, which led to the first losing week in a while. We've still won 11 out of 14 weeks, so I'm looking for a nice bounce back week. Usually after I lose, that's a good week to hop on board. Rarely do we have two losing weeks. So let's see if we can get back on the winning track.
Absolutely, and I think we're going to do it this week, Lee. I can feel it. All right, UNC versus Georgia Tech. That's our first game up. You got UNC minus 21 against the Yellow Jackets, who are just not a good football team. And UNC, obviously, offensively dynamic with their quarterback. What you got for us, Lee?
Yeah, if you're thinking about taking Georgia Tech, just stomach this. They allowed 35 points last week to Miami, a team that hadn't scored a touchdown in nine quarters. That kind of pretty much should be the icing on the cake. But if you need more, the two Zachs that are playing quarterback, just not good enough. I mean, you could put together both skill sets. They can't make plays down the field. Get sacked a bunch. The offensive line isn't good. Their best running back went to Alabama. Drake May's going to have a field day here. Romper Room Special, North Carolina, 51-20.
There you go. All right, Tennessee, they kind of toyed around Missouri in the first half. The Tigers kept it close. Yep. And then second half, I mean, they just turned it on, put up 66 points, bouncing back after that Georgia loss. They have South Carolina this week. Shane Beamer kind of, you know, the Gamecocks are what they are. They are what we expected them to be. What do you see Tennessee and our guy, our coach down there, what do you see them doing this week in South Carolina?
So I was impressed with Tennessee because I think they learned from their mistakes from the Georgia game. They were playing against Georgia in the rain, and they were trying to throw the ball long. They decided, okay, you know what, we made some mistakes. Let's get the ball to our playmakers. And they got some guys on the outside that once they get the ball, I mean, they are home run hitters. So I think they're going to follow that game plan again. And South Carolina defense gave up 374 yards rushing to Florida.
Oof.
I think they're going to give up 474 through the air to Tennessee here. And Spencer Rattler, I mean, have we ever seen a kid with more hype not be able to get the job done? Two passes, touchdown passes, that's it.
That's crazy.
Play this year. Tennessee big. 48-21.
All right, two blowouts to start us off. Yep. Can we get three in a row here, Lee? I'm a Kentucky fan. My Cats licking their wounds after that abysmal showing against Vanderbilt. Georgia's Georgia. They're chugging along. Yep. They do what they do. This game, Georgia minus 22. I'm scared for Will Levis's life. I've been saying it all weekly that the goal in this game is just don't die. Will the Cats die Saturday against the Bulldogs?
I like that one. Got to use that one. Might have to steal that. But here's why I think they have a chance. This line should have been 16, 17 points a week or two ago. I think the line is influenced, number one, by Georgia soundly defeating Tennessee and then also routing Mississippi State and then Kentucky's loss to Vanderbilt. I think the line's moved 7 points here because of that. I think Kentucky got to win number six and relaxed, thought that they could beat Vanderbilt, and then then we'll look at Georgia and Louisville up the road. And they, they got caught looking ahead, and they relaxed. And they had to face a quarterback in the second half who didn't start the game. They probably didn't prepare for, and it happens sometimes. But at home, they're a different team. 16-6 against the spread. If Will Levis plays an above-average game or Chris Rodriguez has a good game, I think they're going to be in this game here. I think Georgia had almost everything go right this year here. And I think they might take Kentucky a little. They might be a little overconfident for this game here. Last year they won 30-13. I know Kentucky scored with 6 seconds to go, but I think Georgia's going to win 31-17, but Kentucky covers.
All right, they had Buster Douglas talk to the team today, Lee, so there you go.
I like that.
Yeah, Kentucky had Buster Douglas come in and talk about underdogs and the upset, so we'll see if that...
All they need is Sylvester Stallone to come Friday night, right?
Exactly, yeah, I get a little Sly Stallone in there as well. Yep. All right, the big one around here, Lee, Louisville versus NC State. NC State may be on their third or fourth quarterback. Louisville looks like they're going to be playing a backup quarterback in Brock Doman, two very similar teams. How do you see this game played out here in Louisville?
Typical North Carolina State blew a 14-0 first quarter lead here as a 19-point favorite against a very poor Boston College team, and that's why they are who they are. This North Carolina State team, their nickname is the Wolf Pack. I call them middle of the pack. I think the Louisville D is going to be able to blitz North Carolina State and apply enough pressure to force some takeaways here. And North Carolina State only 135 passing yards last week in that game. That's not going to be enough here against Louisville. Kind of a low-scoring game, but I think Louisville's the right side here, 27-17.
All right, we'll do an NFL game here before we get to what you got cooking for us this week. Lee, another big one in the NFL. Dallas, a little bit of a a disappointment. And then Minnesota getting the big win in Buffalo, even with Josh Allen. What do you see here, Dallas minus one versus the Vikings?
Okay, so I think they're begging you to play Minnesota as the home underdog. They're 8-1. You're thinking, oh, okay, they should be able to win at home, but here's the problem. They're 8-1, but they rank 29th in total yards allowed. They also could be without their left tackle for the game against Dallas, a team that rushes the passer, has 35 sacks. Could be tough. And then they're also looks like it's possible they could be down two of their top three cornerbacks. So Dak Prescott could be able to exploit the secondary. Minnesota's been lucky this year. They faced a bunch of backup quarterbacks, and I think Dallas is heaping mad after they blew that game. Well, their coaching staff blew the game.
Sure.
I thought they should have gone for the field goal, up 7 points. But, I think sometimes coaches, they go back and face their old team. They get a little emotional, and he wanted to put the game away instead of doing the smart move. So Dallas has played well on the road. Believe it or not, they're a tougher out on the road, 10-3 against the spread the last 13 times on the road. In fact, they've covered five of the last six as favorites with all those victories coming by six or more points here. Don't fall for the trap. Dallas, 30-24 over Minnesota.
Oh, there we go. Yep. All right, Lee, tell us what you have coming up this week. Tell us about the game of the week for you guys. And we're getting ready to get into Thanksgiving, so give us some goodies. Set the table for us, Lee Sterling.
Yep, so we've got our Baker's Dozen, 13 games combined Saturday and Sunday. Bring out this promotion probably 2 to 3 times a year, but it's even bigger. What we have going on, we have our college football underdog play of the year. We rate our selections from 10 to 50 units. This will be only the fifth 45 to 50 unit play this year. We're 3-1 on those so far this year. The only loss was Air Force by a half a point. So I found an underdog that's not a 1, 2, or 3 point underdog. An underdog of more than a touchdown, I think, wins the game outright. You can play this game plus the points and also sprinkle the money line. You want to get involved. Great time after a losing week. Not many handicappers will tell you they lost. We lost last week, our first losing Sunday. You want to get this college football underdog 45-unit best bet. It will be included in the Baker's Dozen 13 games. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
All right, appreciate it, Lee. You guys have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy those pies, and we'll talk to you next Friday for Rivalry Week, a big one around these parts as the Cats and the Cards and the Governor's Cup, and then we'll talk about the rest of the games around the country. Lee, be safe. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy that sunshine.
You too. Take care, Andy.
All right. Andy and I sound nothing alike, but that's okay. He does 100 of these shows a day, right, Jack? I mean, that's the, you know. It's not,
yes, he does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Well, I didn't, to be fair, I didn't say, hey, Andy's not here. This is James.
To be more fair, I told him that it was you.
Lee Sterling doesn't have time for me, Jack. He's no time
for
me.
Any of us.
No, that's.
And now I got to mark that on a.
Yeah, absolutely. You should mark it. I mean, I'd be mad at you if you didn't mark it. I would be upset. I'd scold you, Jack. I'd take you to task. Oh boy, it happens. It happens. All right, Jack. So I don't know, man. Here we'll do our pick segment coming up.
Yep.
In the 5 o'clock hour of the next segment, we'll get out of here a little early so you can prep for the mixtape. We'll do 5:20 mixtape, and we'll ride into the weekend. Just a couple texts here real quick about that Will Levis discussion that we had before Lee Sterling came on. Texter, BBN went from saying they were going to play Georgia for the SEC West title to bringing in Buster Douglas. Good point. Texter, if Levis keeps throwing every single ball off his back foot, he'll have 60 interceptions this rookie season.
That is a good text. The Buster Douglas one.
The Buster Douglas text was really good. Texter, Will Levis was a backup QB before he got to UK. I would argue, yes, that's true. But he's been a lot better since being the starter at UK. So there you go, Jack. I know we're going to talk more about Texter, Andy Strebel, Round Sweeney. That's pretty good. Andy Strebel. I just feel like, yeah, thank you, Lee. I'm Andy Strebel.
Hi, I'm Andy Strebel.
Hi, I'm Andy Strebel.
This is Andy Strebel.
That's great. What if there was like a mix between me and Andy? What would that person be like? Even louder.
Yes.
That's
the perfect way.
Yeah, even louder. Yes. By the way, did you know Twitter was dying, Jack?
Yes.
It's supposed to be dead. I mean, I had all these people last night doing these like Twitter farewells and like my favorite memories of Twitter and all this, that, the other. And I'm like, I mean, it's a good website for news and sports and that type of stuff. And, you know, without Twitter, I don't think I'd be here, honestly, with you, because Jason Anderson reached out to me via Twitter because he saw it as a Twitter gas bag and all these things. But I'm like, I'm not going to shed tears over Twitter. Like, Twitter's like the ultimate bleep post. That's all it is a bunch of bleep posting and people being awful to each other. Be like, goodbye, Twitter. Oh, I'll miss you. It's like, well, I'll miss some aspects of Twitter. It's not like it's the end of the world. And then, of course, I woke up this morning, and the first thing I did was, not the first thing I did, but like one of the first things I did, you know, as I got up and took my shower and got my kids ready for school, I clicked on the Twitter app, and there it was, still there. Like, I have no idea if, you know, Elon Musk is going to be able to keep this ship afloat. It looks really bad. He's done a really poor job. If you haven't followed the story, apparently everybody's quit because he put out this ultimatum. Like, if you don't work 12-hour days, go ahead and take your severance package now.
How are rich people so dumb?
I don't know. And Jack, and you know, these don't put your faith or trust in billionaires or rich people, period, to do the right thing ever. Like, yeah. Don't. They're not. Just because they're rich, it doesn't mean they're smarter than us. I mean, seriously. In a lot of cases, they're really not. They lucked into things. I mean, congrats, you're rich. It doesn't make you better than anybody or smarter than anybody, but it was just, it's been a bleep show. But last night, like, everybody was just convinced that Twitter was going to go the way of the dodo bird, and that's a musty saying, I know, but it's still here. I don't know. I don't think Twitter's just going to die, but I could be wrong. Yeah, I mean, there are some good things about Twitter. Don't get me wrong, there's some good things, but then it just opens up access to some of the worst people in the world. It really does. It's like the some of the worst people in the world have access to you and me and say awful, mean, nasty things to you and me and anybody else out there. It's like, would I really miss that? Would I really miss a Louisville fan calling me fat?
The text line will still do that for you.
Yeah, exactly. The text line will still do it. But, you know, that's only during show hours. Like, because I don't have access to the text line. I have access to Twitter all the time. Like, it won't break my heart if I don't have a Louisville fan tell me that he hopes I have the worst things in the world happen to me. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll preview all these good games this weekend, and we'll get to the mixtape and into your weekend here on The Take, ESPN 680 105.7.